How's it going, guys?
So,
going well.
Here's what happened is some of us can't, we've been spread out so much as a county commission this year, going to meetings and stuff. It's hard for us to make your town hall. And so I thought about just trying to call you directly and talk more like a government to government specific our issues. We only have a couple lawyers in the room, and we advertise the meeting as open to the public.
Go a lot quicker, Jerry. That's good.
Well, or it may not.
So, do you have a copy of the list of questions?
Yes, sir, I do.
So, the first question.
Well, first of all, Kurt, just so you know, Bill Hall was not able to be here, so it's just Terry and I, and this is Doug.
And
okay.
Wayne Belmont's here.
Tell Bill I'm working on the homeless issue and seeing if there's some way we can get, Republican attention to helping out with HUD a little bit.
Okay, that would be a good step in the right direction. One of his other big issues would jump down to is, I know it's a tough thing to answer, but it's the housing issues, affordable housing. You got anything on that you can tell us?
Well, not at this point. It's not, unfortunately, I don't think it's even on the Republican radar screen right now. It seems to be difficult. My thought might be in the veterans arena. There's been some discussion, and that might be one area where we can drive to at least trying to make some accommodations and push to, eliminating homelessness, at least for our veteran community. That may have some juice here, but I'll put my attention to that over the next few weeks. We're doing the CR now. I don't see much changing in the CR from, I have no super duper inside information, full disclosure, you guys, but I don't see a lot of anything changing right now from what you are already enjoying or not enjoying. And I would take the Trump budget with a huge grain of salt. He doesn't really have any juice here anyway, so.
I think that's what you said. You were very articulate in expressing that in Newport at the open house.
Yeah, I think it's still the same. I mean, the border wall is gone, all this weird stuff, and he's just trying to latch on to something to claim some sort of success. Talking to my Republican colleagues, he's starting to get more engaged at an earlier point, but he just doesn't have a lot of people appointed in office yet. And it's not these high-profile Senate confirmation things. He just, after the last administration lost, a lot of the guys that had gotten jobs under that administration are not interested in serving under this guy. So they've got a huge hiring chore ahead of them, just regular people to crunch paper and crank out numbers.
Well, that's a problem that we don't see or hear about. Well, just so you know, the housing issues kind of got a passion here in the capital too. I hear them talking about it, several people. It's all over the state. So it's one, when you do get some information, I know there'll be a lot of people back here interested in
all right.
What you hear.
So
I'll do that.
If
I'll
I may add a little bit on that, Kurt, again, this is Doug. We had a conversation about the housing situation last night at a joint work session with Depot Bay. And one of the things, from my training as an economist, I'm interested in trying to look at ways to increase the supply of housing rather than to find revenues to distribute so that the homeless or people looking for better housing have more revenue to spend. The issue is a supply and demand issue, and we don't need to increase the demand. What we need to do is increase the supply. So that's kind of my thoughts as you start looking at, how do we tackle this problem? How do we increase the supply of housing?
Oh, I totally agree with that. I think part of that is making sure that there's less obstructions to the real estate and home building community so they can get things moving as fast as possible and make sure they have a supply of timber, if I may say so, at an affordable price so that the prices don't go through the roof. One of the few things I agree with Donald Trump on is maybe his tariff on the Canadians. We'll see how that all plays out at the end of the day. But we've got to make sure that we have that supply. I'm in total agreement. Some of it's just a time warp issue. You know, during the Great Recession, a lot of home builders went out of business, and others had a tough time hanging on. And so we've got this, you know, probably 3 to 5 year span where there wasn't a lot of supply being put into the chain. And now a lot of people's incomes, at least in the urban areas, have recovered and they're looking for homes. And, you know, frankly, I think even out on the coast, some of the second home industries recovered. But we've got to find a way to increase that supply so that regular people that live and work at the coast can afford the darn homes now.
Well, there's two ways to do it. One of the others is to create jobs that can pay for the housing. And with what your federal government people in NOAA and what OSU has been involved, we're increasing our income here. It's still tough to overcome the tourist second home industry, but as we increase our income, then we can afford the housing that's here. But it
doesn't. Well said.
Yeah. Yep. So that's why we're so worried about these issues. One of the issues that I wanted to find out about, of course, is the Coast Guard helicopter. John told me he thought it was secure. Yesterday when I was looking through Towboat Magazine, I see there's a 22% cut to the satellites. Can you tell me anything about that? That's our weather and for people on land and the ocean here. It's pretty important to us.
Well, that's part of Trump's crazy proposal. You know, he's pushed out the fact that we're going to be wiping out big chunks of NOAA's budget. Sea Grant, I think, was his budget completely eliminated. There's others that are severely reduced. I think 25% reductions to the satellite stuff. I mean, that is not going to happen. I just don't see that ever happening. I mean, that's just crazy talk from a guy that has no experience with the budget for the United States and doesn't realize, just like you're pointing out, how critical it is to mariners, how critical it is to monitoring what's happening in the oceans, to our economy, our fisheries resources, and you know, just climate. I mean, just in general. I mean, the guy is, I don't want to overstate it, but the guy is just pretty ignorant. And at this stage of the game, I would take all of what he's saying with a huge grain of salt. Make sure I and others, your senators, know, you know, what are the real flashpoints for you guys, so we can make absolutely sure that when Congress actually puts the budget together, that this stuff's still in there. These are ridiculous proposals by the president, and I don't think they are going to stand up to any sort of scrutiny at all. So I don't want to understate it. He is the president, but the Congress is the one that makes these budget decisions. And to be honest with you, they have to be bipartisan because the appropriations process is not subject to any of this fancy reconciliation stuff you're hearing about with health care and tax reform. So it's got to be a straight up bipartisan vote on the Senate side, 60 votes, which means it has to be bipartisan. And frankly, the appropriations people, even on the House side, they tend to work pretty bipartisanly. And if we can keep these poison pill riders out, policy riders aren't supposed to be in there anyway, I think we're going to be fine. But my attention's all over the NOAA budget, Sea Grant, National Marine Fisheries, all this stuff, the Coast Guard. You know, we put in, Peter, myself, and thanks to your guys' help, put in some pretty onerous requirements if the Coast Guard, even if budget's a little bit tight, would have to meet to get rid of, you know, the helicopter. So we're totally vested in that. I'd like to think that Mr. Henry will get to understand more and more how important that is and the voice you folks have on the coast and the hard work that's gone into that. And I will say that the Republican guy who's in charge of the subcommittee that deals with the Coast Guard budget is a friend of mine, and I saw some comments he made in the paper, oh gosh, a month or plus back when Trump was proposing some of this stuff. That you know, he I think, what did he say? He thinks the president just might be unaware of what a vital role the Coast Guard plays in the security and safety of our nation. He was very tactful about it, more tactful than me, anyway.
Well, the Coast Guard's another part of our budget that comes through to the federal government. What can we do as a county or people here to help support it in any way? You know what you need or where you need or when you need it. What can we do to be prepared to do any information back there or anything, any but Lynch Point?
Well, I think I do a couple of things, particularly after the next week or two, once we get past this continuing resolution. We may be doing a very short-term one here tomorrow because there's some, but I think there's great bipartisan work on continuing at least the funding we have now, which I understand doesn't allow for price increases and cost increases, but I think there's great support, bipartisan support, but there are, to my understanding, there may still be some last minute details that need to be hammered out that might take us into a week or two from now. So we may be doing a very short one. But once this week and the week or two go by, we'll be focused on the 2018 budget. And at that point, it'd be good to have you guys, as a county with other local jurisdictions, I'd say the first responders, and frankly all the counties, talk about the importance of the rescue side of the Coast Guard. And I'd also like you to put some good-natured pressure on Commander Henry, make sure he knows, you know, that this is the top priority for the Coast, one of the top priorities for your senators here in D.C. and the top priority for your congressmen for this area. And because, you know, he's relatively, you know, new, if you will, and didn't live through the trench warfare we had to go through to make sure that this was not taken away from the Central Oregon Coast.
So does John, your staff, have the addresses for all the people that we might contact? I mean, we don't need to do it now, but if he gets a chance, could he send us an email?
I can
email?
Have John make sure you guys have the contacts you need.
Because I'm sure we don't have a complete contact list. And we want to be involved this time. It's just too important to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Kurt, one of the thoughts I've had about the Coast Guard rescue situation is that I've been to the East Coast and I've swum in the Atlantic Ocean. I went to Connecticut, and you can swim in the waters off of Connecticut. So the Atlantic Ocean isn't cold like the North Pacific, and of course the Pacific and Southern California is warm. So I don't think there's really a broad understanding of how cold our water really is along the Oregon coast, and therefore that's how critical the Coast Guard rescue mission is.
I think that's absolutely true, and that came through loud and clear a couple years ago when we were having our hearings, and the commander at the time and the folks certainly in the D.C. headquarters had no clue about that. And I thought the fishermen's wives and the community spoke really, really well to that. That I think that does help make a difference. If this one-size-fits-all geography, boat thing, that doesn't hold water, no pun intended, when you've got less than, minutes or a few minutes before you get hypothermia and you can't function. That's a very different deal than off the Atlantic coast. You're spot on with that. I'll also have some personal, I'll make a point of talking to Duncan Hunter myself so that he understands that. He's from California, so he's got the warm weather down there. But he's a Marine, and he's gone into all sorts of tough environments, so he will understand what we're talking about.
So Depot Bay, you know, the last time they made cuts, they went after Depot Bay because it's the smallest station, but, you know, it's sitting on all those rocks there. Then they have a lot of calls for rescues that aren't to boats and stuff, just people in that area, especially now with the solar eclipse coming. We don't know what's going to happen. It's on ground zero.
That's a good point. No, that's a really good point, Terry. We'll make sure. We'll make sure.
Great. Well, Doug's got some questions here, and I'll step back, but thanks.
Well,
yep.
Thank you, Kurt. I know you've had some discussions about the Port of Newport's staging area, and I just think it's important to note that staging area really has the opportunity to not only export products other than timber, but also import products. So I think as the technology changes and there's more creative ways to package materials, I think the staging area for the Port of Newport really is a critical part of some economic growth and good paying jobs in our area. And I use an example, you may have heard it, but in talking with Kevin Greenwood, there was some discussion about exporting dehydrated pulp. And, you know, it's, again, I think an example of some of the changes in technologies and creative types of methodologies to be able to export products as well as import products. So I just wanted to say I think there's a lot of value in that staging area, and it's not certainly not exclusively a log exporting facility.
Well, I'm gonna hold you guys to that. My reputation's a little bit on the line here. I don't want to be put in the awkward position where I'm pitting one community against another. And as you well know, there's folks a little to the north of you that are very concerned about this being a lumber export thing. And I assured them that was not the way it was proposed. That's not the way Kevin originally talked to me about it. That's not the way the community is looking at it. So the sooner we can get other players in there, and I really like the idea of it becoming an import opportunity also. Highway 20 is in much better shape now, and you know, the sooner you guys can start to encourage people, and if I can do anything, you know, to encourage different businesses with some trading opportunities beyond just the log export, that'd be great for the region. Let's be frank, guys, it'd be great for the region, and another feather in the economic development cap of Newport and Lincoln County. And again, I think would tell some of the naysayers that some of this trade stuff is actually pretty damn good.
Hey, Kurt, do you know about the initiative that's been proposed here for anti-aerial spraying?
Yes, I do.
And it's going to be an interesting one, what the result of this. Well, it really doesn't affect Congress, but it's something it can, if it passes, could, you know, be spread out all over the place and really affect the timber industry here on the West Coast.
Yeah, no, I agree. I understand you guys came out against that initiative.
Correct.
Yep.
Good for you. That's a tough stand to take, and I admire you guys for be willing to do that. I mean, there are well-intentioned people behind it. I get that. We have the same issues here in D.C. Terry and I dealt with them at the state of Oregon, and but it would be, you know, it's one of those broad types of initiatives that people have no idea how it plays out on the ground in critical tough areas where you want to do the right thing. Instead of driving roads into all these forests, there's only some ways you can manage this, and it's, you know, punish the guys that do it wrong. I get that, but you don't shut down a whole industry and punish the good players. So I'm very impressed. If I can be helpful, gentlemen, and if I'm asked that question, I would be supporting your position. How's that?
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Maybe a question on the transportation situation. Of course, Kurt, I know the Transportation Act, I guess it was called FAST, Fixing America's Surface Transportation, was passed. But what do you see, if anything, in the future as far as additional funding for transportation? It's no secret that throughout the entire country, our infrastructure, particularly roads, are falling apart. And I just wondered if there's any likelihood of some action being taken that would provide some support to improve the system.
I think there might be. I don't have a good timeline for you guys on that, but I think it is a priority for this administration, one that is actually links up nicely with the real world for a change. Both Republicans and Democrats are tuned into this. We have a history of bipartisan work, as you pointed out, with the FAST Act. Putting serious money behind it. We didn't put a innovative source of money behind it, and that's probably the next iteration. Are we willing to step up and come up with a creative, modern way to fund our infrastructure, transportation and otherwise? I hope so. I stand ready. Good news, the FAST Act was a longer term proposal, so we've got a little time to work this out over the next year and a half, and I think it'll be probably at least a year in the works as we crank through this stuff. I am a little concerned, and I've said this at town halls, that in talking with Peter DeFazio and some of my other colleagues, the current chair on the House side of the T&I committee is very focused on the aviation aspect and not putting a lot of effort into surface transportation. So we have that's a problem. We got to get his attention and got to get him off that. This is an area where the president might be helpful, actually. And to that point, the Secretary of the Treasury, we've met with him. He seems vested in infrastructure. The $1 trillion, I don't think you're going to see the feds put $1 trillion on the table. We do not have that money. But I think you're going to see, you could see a couple $100 billion, which isn't jump change, and then leveraging that maybe with some more robust public-private partnerships than we had under the previous administration. And I think I would be very supportive of that. But stay tuned, and, Highway 101, it's just a lifeline. Thousands, maybe millions of people go up and down that every summer, and the community really needs to make sure that that's in great shape and able to sustain that sort of traffic.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. Not only is it, the lifeline for our current economy and communities along the coast, but certainly in the event of when the Cascadia event happens, it could be a critical part of being able to deliver supplies along the coast, because access out of the valley is going to be a long time coming. So if there's anything we can do here again to help support some funding and look at the emergency preparedness aspects, let us know. But appreciate your efforts in that area.
Yep. As that heats up, I'll make sure to reach out, John and I.
So do you have another one?
No, I think that's on my list.
Okay. That's the ones we have. Anything you'd like to ask us? We ask you a bunch of questions.
No, that's good. Yeah, good. I actually like this format, where I can, talk to all you guys, and the town halls are great. Don't get me wrong. I like that. But that's, frankly, for the citizens who have maybe bigger, broader questions, and my chance to hopefully educate them about some of the misinformation that's out there, and frankly, learn some things from them, too. But this is a good format, guys. I kind of like it, if you don't mind it, and that way I'm not hustling through and not answering all your questions. And we'll be checking back, where we're going to need your support to lobby on a bunch of these things and make sure we re-inform folks about the Coast Guard, the 101, NOAA, all these critical things. Because we're not alone. A lot of coastal communities share exactly your guys' concerns.
Thanks. If you just give us a list of names and let us know when you want something, or you see where it can be beneficial, we're standing here ready to support all the federal agencies that we're involved with.
All right, I will do that, my friend. You guys take care, okay?
We'll see you at, I believe you're getting together with community leaders in a couple of weeks here in Lincoln County, Kurt?
Yep, believe so. And I think our Fishermen's Forum's coming up, too.
All right, well, we'll look forward to seeing you.
Very good, guys.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for your time. Keep up the good work.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now we adjourn the meeting.
Okay. We stand adjourned.